Hey, beautiful babes. Welcome to Lavender Mafia Podcast, Episode 8. Today's episode is about how to embrace your inner sissy slash butch. Simply put, it's about gender expression. I hope you enjoy.
We are the Lavender Mafia. We are the Lavender Mafia. Oh, we are the Lavender Mafia.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Jess Grace Garcia, and I am a filmmaker, music producer, worship pastor, and just the tiniest bit Portuguese. I found that out today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. apparently, my grandmother got a DNA test done, and 11% from Portugal, and nice. Like 27% Spanish, and like 47% Mexican. And I was like, what? Because I love ethnicity. Like, I'm all about like all of my little melting pot that makes up me. So I was kind of excited. But anyway.
Nice. Bring what about Latin you? Flavor.
Right. What about you?
I'm Jack Bates, drag queen, theologian, comedian, and the knockoff Barbie you got for your 7th birthday because your parents never loved you.
I can always depend on you to come up with the most ridiculous things. I'm like, here's a real thing about me that you'll appreciate. Like,
it took a lot of vulnerability for me to say that.
Oh, my bad, Jack. Oh my God, we couldn't stop. We couldn't.
Just kidding. My walls of sarcasm and cynicism, they're real thick.
Always find a way to make things sexy.
You're going to have to ram harder than that if you want to penetrate these.
Oh my God. This is the main topic.
Oh God. Sorry, Mom.
Like, our moms actually listen to this.
I like to think other people's moms listen to it. Sorry, hot moms of the internet.
That's very true. Other people who are moms definitely listen to this. And it makes me feel really amazing, actually. I'm like, what? You listen to this? You listen to little me? What? That's all right. People are mostly here for you, Jack. It's fine.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm glad you think so. Hey, Jess, anything new with you lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of excited. Back in September last year, Evan's my co-producer. Mm-hmm. We started working on music for church. So I'm a worship pastor at New Abbey, NoHo. And I've been working for the past couple of years on like rewriting theology on certain songs that, you know, were used in contexts that were hurtful to us. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like it sucks that so many of us like throw the baby out with the bathwater, like, right. At least right now, like we're still waiting on really great, amazing, affirming music. And I want to say a shout out real quick to Grace Baldridge, also known as Semler, who, just made history by putting out, their EP, as a queer Christian artist. And it's hitting like number one, like in the Apple charts for the Christian genre. Like she's a friend, and she never thought that it was going to actually work. Like that, that they would kick her out of the Christian genre and it wouldn't keep going. And it like even has the little E for explicit next to it. So to see an explicit fucking EP that is written by queer Christian about queer Christian shit. Like, it's an actual Christian EP and it's like at number one, like literally all week recently.
That's awesome.
And I'm just like, hell yes. Like, making the way for us. But until there are more artists like that, and putting out music that we can really enjoy, and there are some great ones, I want to rewrite some of those songs that like have been hurtful, you know, and just like actually write good theology. And so I released a series through my church called Worship Reclaimed, and I'm excited about it. Like, a classic song, like almost everyone that I know knows Your Grace Is Enough. Mm-hmm. And we rewrote some lyrics to reflect better theology and thinking from a queer lens. There's the line about, so remember your people. Remember your children. Remember promise, oh God. Like that pre-chorus that is so often used in like a context of like crying out. It's like thinking of that from a queer lens and saying like we're reminding ourselves, right? Like we mm-hmm. are God's children. Mm-hmm. Like we do belong in this conversation, and like and saying like to everyone else also, remember we are God's children, we are God's people. So it plays three different like roles, at least in my mind, and thinking mm-hmm. about reminding people who are queer or on the margins who are Christian. But I'm just excited about it. Like we just released it, and I'm excited about all the rest of the things that we'll be kind of coming out with from there to kind of give people an opportunity to not feel so triggered mm-hmm. when worshiping and be able to heal some of those past wounds. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
Very cool. I love that.
Isn't it? I don't know, it makes my heart happy. But what about you, Jack? You got anything going on?
No, not really.
I love that. Like, let's just be real, man. Like, there's nothing going on here.
Same old tricks.
Well, then, what's the topic for this week? Tell me what's going on this week.
I thought it'd be fun to talk about gender expression.
All right.
Like, we already had an episode about gender, but we spent most of that time talking about gender norms and gender roles, which are related but different to gender expression, which is more like how you manifest or incarnate your gender through like modifying your appearance, your behavior, and like your clothing and jewelry, stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Well, let's dive into it. So mm-hmm. that's actually a really great definition. I've never heard it like broken down that well, honestly. I feel like I just learned the difference within the past 2 years between gender expression and gender identity. Mm-hmm. And that was what actually opened the door for me to feel comfortable with saying that I am a woman who is genderqueer.
Oh, cool.
For me, that was like such a... it was like graded against each other up until I fully understood the difference between those two things and talking about my masculine expression. And like, I'm curious for you personally, how does gender expression like show up for you?
Yeah, for me, it sort of involves it as ever increasing number of things. Like, I guess it used to be mostly like clothes and behavior. Like when I was in the closet, I dressed like I thought a straight person or a straight man dressed, which is like a lot of plaid and khaki. Like I basically
you
dressed
were just
like
a lesbian.
Yeah.
No.
Now I'm just still lesbian, just more of a lipstick lesbian.
Mm-hmm. No wonder you're my type.
You and me, the two genders, question mark? Just kidding. There were more than two genders.
Way more.
I go through more than two in a morning, honey. For me, gender expression has come to include things like makeup, jewelry, even hair sometimes when I do drag, nails, whether painted, whether fake or real. And because I'm gender fluid, what I use to express my gender will vary from day to day, or even like earlier today, I was dressed more stereotypically masculine, which was not very masculine. I mean, the bar for me is low. But like now I'm wearing a t-shirt dress, pink go-go boots, and I had lipstick on, but August is here, so it got smudged.
Mm-hmm. As August turns bright pink, matching your dress.
We do accessorize well together. And I guess as far as like behaviorisms go, a lot of it has had to do with like me being more comfortable and I guess being socialized into taking on like stereotypically gay mannerisms. Mm. Like I just, the more I learn about queer culture, the more I love almost all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as I came out, like I was getting as faggy as possible. Mm. Like
you and that word. You already did it to me an episode or two ago.
Get into it. So I'd say I flounce more often. I'm a little bit of mincer, a little bit of prancer.
Oh my gosh.
You know, being crippled gay, I flounce a little awkwardly.
Crippled gay.
But like I
love
move
that.
My hands when I talk, which for me codes as gay. I know a lot of other cultures besides American male culture, like they talk with their hands more. But I just didn't do that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the way that I carry things, like that I carry purses at all, and the way that I carry them, just very well, I keep talking about it codes as gay, but what we often mean by it codes as gay is it codes as a stereotypically feminine gender expression that's being incarnated by somebody who presents as a man.
Mm. I was watching a movie on Netflix recently called Boys in the Band, mm-hmm. and it was really interesting. Erica, like, I thought it was going to be funny because the trailer is funny, but mm-hmm. actually it's really dramatic. There's a lot.
It really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard emotions going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to keep pressing pause because as an empath, sometimes it can be really hard to watch hard movies when you didn't expect to be watching that. Like I thought, mm-hmm. okay, I'm prepared for a comedy right now.
Right.
And so I was like, why are they being so hurtful to each other? And Erica was like, well, they were probably all really hangry because they were in this like mode of like if you hear some of the phrases they're talking about, like it's shameful to eat food. They're avoiding eating all of these like luxurious like things because they're fattening, but they'll drink alcohol. They won't drink beer because that will fatten them up. And this is this like horribly stereotypical feminine ideal, right? At the mm-hmm. time. And so like they were all kind of like taking on this toxic femininity.
Right.
To express their gayness. And I just was like, I had to sit there for a second. I was like, whoa. Okay. Wow. I did not watch this on that depth. I was not starting to watch that movie on that level of depth. And my mm-hmm. wife just like, got it. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really interesting, like to think about what, as you're talking about, like you read as gay or whatever, like what are some of the things that we take on in our expression that are healthy or unhealthy?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's just an interesting thought or conversation.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm thinking about the stereotypical cattiness of gay men and how, yeah, it is an affectation that we kind of adopted as a way of dealing with both the pain of past trauma and the sort of emotional immaturity of second adolescence, mm-hmm. which a lot of us went through after we came out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So when I'm thinking about my own gender expression, like if you look on the outside, looking in, you know, some of the way that that shows up is in the fact that I do enjoy wearing flannels. Mm-hmm. I also, since I got married, love suspenders. I say since I got married because I didn't know the beauty of suspenders when you have a tiny booty. Okay. until I wore them for my wedding day, and I was like, oh my God, I will never stop wearing these. And now they're a part of like everything that I wear. I never have to be concerned about if my pants are pulled up. And it fits right into my queer butch aesthetic.
Awesome.
And so there's that. And then, you know, kind of like having a shorter haircut mm-hmm. In some ways. It's harder on someone who is, I feel like there's more people who deal with this than me. I'm fine. I'm good with my curves, but mm-hmm. I can definitely feel the like issues that around dysphoria sometimes that mm-hmm. Some people can feel when you see all of the butch, the hot butch lesbians who are just straight, down the center, like no curvature and feeling that dysphoria. Mm-hmm. And being like, oh, I don't know. I know for me, for a while, I wasn't sure about how I felt about my own chest. I was like, I'm confused about like this. It would be really nice to take a break from these bad boys. like, I'm very large chested, and every now and then I'd be like, you know, it'd be nice if I could just like take them off, hang them on the shelf, you know, take a few days to myself, put them back on. Cause I do love my chest. I, you know, like it is something that I enjoy about myself, but it took a while for me to really understand, how that could still be expressed in a masculine way. And, right. I remember a couple of years ago, I started to really embody that, like, you know, cleavage does not have to only be feminine. Like it can also mm-hmm. be a part of my masculine expression.
Right.
And so when wearing something that's really seen as masculine and then exposing some of my cleavage and someone else being like, fuck, that's hot. That is handsome. That is, you are handsome. Like you are sexy. Like, yeah, I can be handsome and all of these masculine terminologies while still showing off something that would historically be known as a feminine trait. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's one of the ways that I would say that I express also would probably be like my shaving my face. Like that's something that I mm-hmm. enjoy as an expression. Some of the ways I let femininity express itself is in like maybe jewelry, like if I wear earrings or mm-hmm. or if I put on mascara or something like that. But yeah, I think I probably express more often, in a masculine way, but I'd love to queer it always. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking like, how can I just fuck with your ideas around what you think is masculine and what you think is feminine, you know? Mm-hmm. But in talking about some of those toxic ideals, when I first, when I was transitioning out of, femininity and allowing myself to express myself in masculinity, some of those really horrible, you know, conservative, misogynistic masculine ideals were the only things I was really ever exposed to. Mm-hmm. And so that was what was being expressed through me. Things like the way that I was emotionally interacting with other women, the way mm-hmm. that I felt that I needed to lead always, or be the one that made more money, or couldn't have a really strong woman by my side. Mm-hmm. As like, these are hard things for me to actually say out loud because it's shitty to know that that's the way that I felt, but I had to do real work to like undo that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was in actual like emotional expression of the way that I like related to the world, which is kind of odd to think about in reference to gender expression. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's interesting to think on the toxic ways that we take on. Like I see like in the lesbian community or queer women community a lot, there's like studs often run into that. Like this really, they, you know, I know some people who identify as studs who really try to push back on this idea that like, you know, let me be your man. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like they take it, and it's unfortunate, you know, and they know that like some people hate that that's true for that, community, but it is. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we, even in those smaller ways, like we encounter this kind of like toxicity of the right. way that we think about femininity and masculinity. And you and I can talk about that like
all day,
all day. All day. Like, how does femininity and masculinity express itself? Like, I hate those fucking words, to be honest. Like, when can we get words that are not so closely tied to the idea of being male or female? Mm. When can we just have two words that mean two sides of the binary spectrum and that does not mean, that does not so closely tie to gender terminology?
I think it'd be helpful to get rid of the spectrum entirely because yeah. there are ways of being neither masculine nor feminine that aren't like doing hadsies.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. It's just so hard to think outside that, mm-hmm. right? Because like in so many ways, we use spectrum as a way to describe many different things.
Right.
Right. And so when you have something that's super masculine or super feminine or whatever the fuck that actually means, you can tell that this is a frustrating topic. It's like, okay, and then let's, you know, like, okay, let's move our way in, or just say, fuck all that shit. I'm going to do it all. like one of the things I love about you, Jack, is like you often have facial hair. You often have a really sharp, like mustache or beard going on. Mm-hmm. And yet you look like sexy and fucking hot as shit in a feminine way. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And it's basically like, fuck you to all of those ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you and I are both in small ways creating a world that transcends these gender categories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're both saying things like, oh, masculinity isn't just for people born with a penis. Femininity isn't just for people born with a vagina. Like, mm-hmm. anybody can incarnate these genders any way they want to, in any sort of permutation they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of the people that I think really say fuck you to that is, like, I have friends who go by he, him pronouns, but present as trans feminine.
Mm.
That's the best way I know how to describe that. Hopefully I'm describing that well. That stuff, that's the thing that makes me like, or they go, hey, I don't do gender at all. Like, you can say, just they, them pronouns, or you can say any pronoun. That's fine by me. Mm-hmm. Here's my name. You can use my name. but that's always been really great to me. For me, the way that I say fuck all that is by saying like, yeah, a woman can look like this.
Mm-hmm.
A woman can sound like this. You know?
Yeah.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Hide your husband, too.
All right? That's always been, like, the most fun I've had with it, because it's like I'm curvy and also beautiful, and so men will... straight cis dudes will just say that, like, will be like a little confused by my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm hitting on them or giving them love or whatever, they're like, oh, this feels like really nice. And it feels like it's okay because she's a woman and I'm confused because she's also queer. I don't understand. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to fuck with you. You're going to be fucked up after this. And really like cis gay dudes who are like, oh, why am I so attracted to you? Because I'm like so masculine, or like I have that like expression about myself while also being soft, and you know, like,
mm-hmm.
But I say hide your wife because all the husbands be like, the ones that are really insecure, like, oh, you're best friends with my wife. And yeah, most of the time they do fall in love with me. So I'm sorry. My bad.
Sorry about it. When you ooze sex, you just can't help it.
Anyway, enough about me.
Jess, you mentioned gender dysphoria. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting, the idea about dysphoria, I think I'm still learning. I think I'm still learning and understanding what dysphoria is.
Mm-hmm.
I think for some people, it's something that you can only remedy with like with surgery or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for some people, we just have to go through a process of understanding and thinking a certain way.
Right.
For me, I needed to do some self-love work and some switching around to understand that, like, specifically my chest could also be masculine. Mm-hmm. Because when I saw it as, like, this feminine burden, it felt like a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like this is the only way that this is read, is this right. Feminine. And when I was able to kind of do that work for myself, and I specifically say for myself because there are so many people, that's not the solution. The solution is to do top surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what helps them. Mm-hmm. And I think that August mentioned this on the episode when we were talking about sexual health and education, but just like, even there's like a movement of like lesbians who are doing, you know, top surgery. It just makes them feel better about themselves. Still go by she, her pronouns. It doesn't change their gender identity, but it feels better for them, you know? But yeah, it's interesting, to kind of, like, I would say that's the area that I would have experienced. I said the other thing in like a kind of positive way would be like, I envision oftentimes, and I'm surprised I didn't mention this in the masturbation episode, but oftentimes I envision myself, like if I'm getting, like envisioning getting a blowjob or something like that, I envision myself in like having a penis and that. Even in the action in which if I'm having sex and someone's going down on me, like even in that action, I'm envisioning myself as having a penis and they're doing the same thing. And sometimes that like is really huge for me. Like it's a really big turn on. And so there are moments sometimes where like as a kid, I was a little bit jealous. But I would say like, I'm pretty settled and I love that I have a clit, so I'm good. But there are definitely times where I wish, kind of like the boobs, like I wish I could, it's a little easier to like put on a strap on, right? And take one off.
Right.
But yeah, there are times that I wish that it would be something I could physically actually just take on and put off. But yeah, I know that's my, what about for you? How does that, is that something that you experience?
Yeah, I'd say I experience mild gender dysphoria every now and again.
Right.
Used to be that I would use drag to scratch that itch, but now that I've incorporated more stereotypically feminine elements into my dress and behavior, I feel like it happens less as my sort of day-to-day gender expression is kind of as fluid as I feel like my gender identity is.
Right. It's about breaking down those walls, right? Like, I feel like the walls, like I've always been the kind of person that does not like to be put in a box. Mm-hmm. And so the minute that you build up walls and say like, well, this is what femininity is and this is what masculinity is, I don't like either of those options.
Right.
I don't want to have balls. Goodness gracious.
You've got balls on the brain too.
What is happening right now? I don't want to have walls built up around me in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we can break down those walls and go, I get to choose how I express myself when I express myself, then it feels like we talked about in the gender episode a little bit. It feels like I can actually put on jewelry. It feels like I can actually wear some makeup and not have it change all of my experience, you know? And vice versa. Like, it feels like you can actually do the same thing, right? And just, like, walk through life that way. It's given me, like, there are days that you can be more butch, right? And I feel like some of us, in at least for queer women, oftentimes, I'm sure there are a lot of women and lesbians or whatever in this audience who like have gone severely one way. Like, okay, let me chop all my hair off. Let me go super butch. And then they're like, oh, actually, wait, can I be gay and also still be femme?
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to talk about, one of our listeners asked us to address the topic of fear. And I think there's so many different conversations that we could bring that into. But it occurs to me that in some ways it's particularly appropriate for this discussion because a lot of us can feel fear because of the way that we choose to express our gender or even the way that we unwillingly or unconsciously express our gender.
Yeah, that's got me thinking. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I deal with from time to time. A few times because of the way that I express my gender, the way that I dress, the way that I behave, I've gotten to be in real physical danger. Fortunately, I've escaped harm on those occasions, but it was really scary those times. And partly because of that, partly because of other horror stories I've heard, I feel some level of fear whenever I know that I'm not passing a cis. But my gender expression points me out as non-binary or gender non-conforming in some way.
Yeah, you just reminded me of literally an experience last week where Evan wears this skirt around the studio that I think is so comfy for him and he loves. And he was going to take Rocky out for a walk, like just a simple thing. And he was like, first I got to change out of my skirt. And I was like, what? Why? Like, you look great. Because that's where my head went. Mm-hmm. And he was like, because I don't want to get stabbed, Jess. And I was like, like, I was like, that was very real. I did not think about that. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about your own self-esteem. But nope, that wasn't the issue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I've definitely experienced fear in expression of, because I feel like, when you express differently, people tend to assume that you are liberal, right? Like, it's like,
right.
It's like when we were having all of the riots and the protests, really just protests that were happening in LA that were being considered riots. And police had there was a curfew, right? And all of a sudden we're being told, I think I was here, in the studio, not at home. And all of a sudden there was a 6 p.m. curfew and it was like 5 p.m. when we got the text or something.
Right.
And I was doing church and I didn't know it until like 6:30. And like my wife was really nervous about me driving home. So not only do I have the last name Garcia, but I also am very butch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how could I be potentially treated differently just because of my expression?
Right.
And there was real fear involved in that. And I've been in the South, you know, walking into gas stations and being told I wasn't allowed to use the restroom when someone had previously just been in there.
Oh God.
Because of my very obvious butch expression and taking hours for it to really hit me and being completely quiet while driving, not sure what just happened. And like having experiences that are like that has made me very often go, do I succumb? And like, there's a realness to understanding fear and being smart.
Right.
And then there is way far being pushed into fear territory of, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to express myself the way that I want to express myself. I'm not going to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is fuck all that shit. Right. Like
right.
If something's going to happen, something's going to happen. And I feel like there's probably a balance and I tend to try and keep, I try to keep that balance, but mostly I'm just like, fuck all that shit. Like, yeah. I'm going to be who I am, and I know that that pushes the lines, and I know that that creates some scary moments, but I'd rather live in freedom and have some fear than live in fear with no freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, privilege comes into play with this too, right?
Definitely. Like,
we could express our genders in transgressive ways without feeling as much fear as if we didn't live in the exurbs of LA.
Absolutely. We live in LA. It's like, yeah, there's so much privilege there. Absolutely. You're completely correct.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for it because like I was raised in a very conservative part of California in Central Valley. If you haven't visited, you're not missing anything. And even when I lived near Chicago, it wasn't as friendly to gender nonconforming people as I found LA to be.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's definitely a freedom in, like, to the fact that I didn't even think about Evan walking out in a skirt as being like a risky thing. And my head was not there anymore. You know, because I remember living in that. And I remember when we would drive into certain areas, like my wife and I got married in Cecil County, which has the largest amount of Ku Klux Klan members in like the northeastern region, essentially.
Yikes.
Yeah. And I would drive out there and we had our wedding there. And I remember a friend who was black drove with his mom to our wedding and said, like, made some sort of joke of like they were going to set up signs that said biracial wedding this way. Actually, did we also mention it was gay? Like, like, no.
Up here, the arrow pointed the wrong way.
Right. Like, no, we're not going to do that. But like knowing that when I was going into these kinds of areas, which were pretty close to where I grew up, that I maybe was going to express a little differently, mm-hmm. and or that I was going to, you know, change the way that I pitched my voice when talking to people. Mm-hmm. Right. That's another thing. I like being overtly feminine in the way that I related to men, because they were used to farmer wives that looked like me. Oh man, it's too real. But yeah, it was, I've had a lot of experiences that are around that, but I really do feel privileged to live where we live now, mm-hmm. and not have that and have the diversity that we do. So for those listeners that are in those small towns, we feel for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we acknowledge that it's not that easy all the time. That's the thing about privilege, right? Like, we just need to acknowledge it, right? It's not like, it's not this thing about pointing fingers. We all have privilege at different levels. Mm-hmm. And it's important to practice that, to just be like, hey, you know what? This is where my privilege is, you know? And I understand that.
Yeah, in some ways, it feels funny to call it privilege when like we're still afraid.
Yeah.
People still might like cuss us out, possibly get violent, but it's just less likely.
Yes.
We're less likely to be murdered.
Right.
There's still a non-zero chances of us being murdered if we present as gender non-conforming.
Right. Right.
It's just privilege when the percentage is lower.
Right. Oh my goodness, that's too real. That's too real.
I hear some people talk about the pandemic as something that has finally awoken people to their own mortality. Mm. And I read that as like, bitch, you ain't queer then, are you?
That's some shit right there. Oh, that's some real shit
because
right there.
Even when we're in the closet, like part of the closet for me was, I really thought like somebody like my dad, my brothers, people in the town I grew up in, like they might kill me if they knew what it was, who I was.
Yeah. No, and that's definitely I remember, especially leading up to the last election when Donald Trump unfortunately became 45. Mm-hmm. And there was a fear of going to the voting poll with my wife, right? Mm-hmm. There was a fear of like walking in the wrong area because it just, people came out in a way, ugliness came out in people that was always existing, but was finally like given permission. Mm-hmm. I had friends who were in fucking San Francisco who got like attacked, you know, with beer bottles and ended up in emergency rooms, and just because they presented as gay or queer or whatever. And
it's horrible.
It's like, this is San Francisco we're talking about. So mm-hmm. like sometimes depending on the climate of everything, you know, it doesn't really matter where you're at, mm-hmm. you know, where you're located, you can still be at risk, you know? And I know that there was a lot of, there's definitely a lot of fear. I remember probably the one thing that I regret, and I don't regret a lot. I don't. But one of the things I do regret is like telling my wife that I was going to go to the voting pool separately because I was nervous. Mm. I had fear, and I let fear decide that one. Mm-hmm. Because we lived in a slightly more red county.
Right.
But that's okay. Like, sometimes you let fear decide, and maybe it's the thing that keeps you alive.
Yeah, sometimes that's the smart choice.
Yeah.
To be a little less authentic so that you can survive to be authentic tomorrow.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I hate that that is a choice that we have to think about when we get up in the morning and decide like how much to accessorize.
Mm-hmm. Like if we're going for a job interview, right? Like it could be something as simple as that. It's like, how am I going to express myself in this job interview?
Mm-hmm.
Like how many times have you decided to butch up for a job interview?
Oh yeah. Pretty often. Although, I mean, let's put an asterisk next to that butch.
True. Yeah. I think it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. It's something that, I think with personalities like you and, like mine and yours, we so often put off this, like this big, you know, don't fuck with us kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that we try to pretend that some of those things aren't really actually happening underneath the surface. And I like that that listener brought up fear, because it is something that we need to address within ourselves and be honest about, because sometimes I think it can, like, I want to be like the queer hero for the little queerbies out there, you know, queer babies out there. But at the end of the day, like, we also are experiencing those like scary things, you know?
Right.
And I don't want people to think that we haven't been, you know, or that we're above it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like these kinds of experiences tend to give queer people a healthier relationship with death than is usual? Because I feel like we get that there are things worth risking even death for. Like when you and I say, fuck it, like, if you're going to hate crime me, like, you know where to find me, bitch. We're taking little or medium, sometimes big steps to make the world a safer place for people like us.
Yeah, when we started, you and I started a queer theology group at one point, and it was something that we were doing in physical space before pandemic. And that meant sharing our addresses at different times with people.
Right.
And we both had to have a real conversation with each other about the fact that this could target us, you know, and how we would go about sharing that information with people in a way that was safe for both of us.
Yeah.
Because we are basically, like, someone might decide, like, oh, I'm going to start a small group, or oh, I'm going to have a party, or I'm going to, you know, start a podcast. And that decision for them is a way smaller decision than us saying we're going to gather a bunch of queer Christians together in a home. And here's the address. Like, it's a different, it's a different sacrifice.
Yeah.
That we're making. It's a different level of come get me, bitch.
Yeah, I think it was in our marriage episode, the sort of evangelical martyr complex came up. Like, okay, these people have a sort of fetish for talking about, thinking about their lives being threatened for their faith when their lives have literally never been threatened for anything. But queer Christians are out here, like, we face death sometimes just to dress the way that we want to, or like to gather with our friends. I think there are some aspects of Christianity that queer people more naturally understand better than people in positions of more privilege.
Yep. That is very real. I think it's why we create so often in the queer community, outside of like the larger queer community, I think it's why so often we value small community, right? Because we need to have that safe space.
Right.
Right. We need a buddy to go out with, because something bad could is much more likely to happen. We need a crew. Right. to dance with, because we don't want some stranger dancing up on us and then hurting us later. You're right. I think like our relationship with understanding our own mortality and our own like zest for life, like our own like desire to live, is way different. Like this, like,
yeah,
like I'm choosing to live every day. I'm choosing to live with less fear. I'm choosing to, and that's just like gathering as friends for a game night sometimes. It's not even like right. going out to the club. But it's real. Mm-hmm. It's very real.
We feel like that zest for life is part of it. I feel like sometimes we're able to live more fully
yep.
as queer people because we know what it's like to have our lives be threatened.
Mm-hmm.
I think other people in other minorities experience that too.
Absolutely.
And that we could have that sort of shared experience with them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I've said in previous episodes, I feel like growing up biracial better prepared me for being queer and understanding being like marginalized, you know, like my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
There are many times that being Mexican, like my dad actually stopped allowing us to go and hang out at my uncle's house because they were so closely tied to East LA gangs and like they hadn't fully gotten out of the gangs at the time. And so at a certain time, I remember as a kid, there was a certain time that we would have to go home. Because other people were coming over.
Right.
And then eventually we stopped going over. And it had a lot to do with just my dad trying to create security for us. Mm-hmm. And so I won't go into too much detail about that, but I experienced a lot of like understanding my Mexican heritage as being a more dangerous thing to identify as than the safety of my mom's side of the family, like the financial freedom of my mom's side of the family, even though we didn't really have access to that for whatever reason. But yeah, that definitely prepared me to have a little bit of a tougher skin going into being queer, or realizing my queerness and walking into my queerness, I guess you could say. And then, you know, to top it all off, you know, gender expression and wanting to like, push against gender norms, you know, and then to top that all off, to be poly, you know, it's just it's a fun game of how different
Let's
can
be
I be
all of the marginalized.
Right.
I thought about that, too, when I'm like was disabled and bi, and I realized I was trans also, like, oh, fuck. Like, wasn't the other stuff enough?
Right. That's what I always say, I'm like, do you think this was a choice? Like, no. If you thought this was a choice, like, fuck you. But also, I love it. Like, I would choose this now that I understand how much I love it about myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, over and over again, but still.
Like, it doesn't look so good on the brochures. Like, probable risk of death.
Right.
Don't sign me up for that. Gotta be born this way, baby.
For sure. Man, we dove into some shit that I wasn't expecting to dive into on this. We always do that.
Yeah, I just wanted like a sort of light, fluffy conversation like our last After Dark on masturbation was supposed to be and also was not.
Well, I think one of the things that and listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's one of the things that people enjoy, right? And like, it's one of the things that the queer conversation often has is this ability to kind of equally balance tragedy and humor. Like this, like, listen, like we, like, this is a fucking tough ass life and we're going to talk about tough fucking shit. But also, like, here's how we laugh about it, and here's how we lighten things, because we can do both, and I think that people appreciate that about our conversation.
I hope so. I appreciate it about our conversation
for sure. For sure, I couldn't just enjoy one or the other, you know.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
like the most buy shit. It's like the most buy shit we could do right now.
Why not both?
Like so poly right now. But why now? Why not both? Awesome. Well, yeah, I feel like we asked listeners for a lot for this episode. So if you haven't written into us, if you haven't written a review or anything, we would love to like if you really like us, please write us a review. That would be freaking awesome. But like mostly I just want to hear what your thoughts are on this episode. I would just love to hear people's thoughts. Jack runs Twitter at Lav Mafia and I run Instagram at Lav Mafia as well. And I would just love to get your feedback. I'm sure Jack would as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about your gender expression journey.
Yeah.
What you've done, what you've changed, what you'd like to try.
Yeah. I would love to hear all the things. Please send them. It really brings us so much joy and it sparks conversation, which helps lead us into other topics. So awesome. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And we feel so lucky to be doing this.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Absolutely so blessed. All right, gorgeous, beautiful babes, be fierce, keep the faith.
And don't fuck it up. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.